Guess who's back? Back again. It's Exchange Zero Days. Yeah, seriously, really. Guess who? Layoff edition. And defense contractors. Learn a lesson in self-defense. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by Huntress's Hackett 22, a series of interactive sessions led by cybersecurity pros and industry favorites to help you better understand threat actors and the tradecraft they use. Running November 14th through 16th, with two chances to catch the content, plus a separate optional zero-day workshop. To register for Hackett 22, visit this Huntress site. Additionally, for a chance to win one of five free zero-day sessions, register at go.oit.co/Hackett22.
Good morning and welcome to the October 7th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Excellent, excellent. You said, where are you right now? Because I am clearly in Florida.
I am at the Metapians Crescendo User Group Conference in Florida, in Aventura, Florida. So I'm doing this live from our hotel room because in MSP Dispatch, we make sure we always have the news to our MSPs. We don't care where we're at.
It doesn't matter. And you're so engaged. I love it. I don't think everyone understands how engaged we're actually with the community, doing the shows from offsite, wherever we are, two times a week. We've got an amazing production staff on the back end that's actually listening right now.
Doing all the hard work.
Yeah.
So, Tony, you know, I like to bring up interesting topics for the opening of the show. I know you're a competitive guy. You're really competitive with your BJJ and just competitive in business. And, you know, so you appreciate this. But competitive fishing, okay? There's a story that I saw on CBS of 30 teams, 32-person teams, were going out fishing for a $28,760 prize. The top winning team brought in fish that had to have a five fish that had to have a cumulative weight of over 16.89 pounds to win. So when they won, the crowd really wasn't impressed with them. They were just, you know, whatever. And they were taking pictures. They decided to look into this a little more. So they cut open the fish. And apparently they had put not only lead weights, which if you're going to cheat, that's the go-to, right? That makes sense. But they also put like pieces of other fish in the fish. Exactly. So they put pieces of other fish in the fish, like, and it doesn't make any damn sense because fish doesn't weigh all that much to begin with.
Listen, I want to put this very upfront in front of everyone, in front of the world. Maybe they're being more efficient. I personally put condensed milk in my milk so I get more milk out of my milk. Maybe they're putting more fish in their fish to get more fish out of their fish. They're so showing how much more fishy their fish are. No?
I don't know if you meant it on purpose or not. The pun of e-fish, like fish efficient. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Anyway.
Efficient.
The brilliance of the Tony Francisco commentary. But speaking of brilliance, we called something a little bit back. I'm going to go ahead and, Simon, play the tape.
This has not been officially confirmed by anybody, but there's been enough rumors going around that I'm putting this out there solely as a rumor that Kaseya may have purchased BNG late last year. This has been unofficially confirmed by account reps at BNG, at Connect Booster, and others in the industry. We are not reporting it as official yet. I want to be very clear on that because neither Kaseya nor Connect Boosters come out officially saying it, but this is in line with the three-year contract terms Kaseya is most known for.
So, you know, I don't want to say we called it, but yesterday. This week, news came out. Kaseya officially announced that they had purchased BNG, AKA Connect Booster. And they had purchased it 13 months ago. So right in Kaseya fashion. So you can say we called it first. We are the Simpsons of the MSP world. We're calling it. But, you know, So, and with that, Tony, let's just get into the news, man.
Let's get into the news. In our first story from darkreading.com, Microsoft updates mitigation for Exchange zero-day hack. The Microsoft today updated its mitigation measures for two recently disclosed and actively exploited zero-day vulnerabilities in its Exchange server technology after researchers found its initial guide could easily be bypassed. Microsoft's original mitigation for the two vulnerabilities, specifically CVE-2022-41040 and CVE-2022-41082, was to apply a blocking rule to a specific URL path using the URL rewrite module on its IIS server. According to the company, adding a simple string would block known attacks patterns against the vulnerabilities. If you like access to that particular string, you can please look at our show notes. A map of devices from Shodan's search engine that security researcher Beaumont generated this week shows tens of thousands of systems around the world that would appear to be running a vulnerable version of Microsoft Exchange Server. Ray, let's just talk about this briefly because there's so many facts about this particular story and it is terrifying. And I want to really point out the audience that we address is the MSP community, the managed service provider, the technology service provider, even the VAR, the value added reseller that originated from the 80s into the 90s. Everyone. Used Microsoft Exchange. And for the audience, quick edification, I was one of the inventors of multi-tenant Microsoft Exchange. So I watched the struggle between, you know, installing an Exchange server on Exchange application on a server, configuring it, managing it, getting it up and running, and then seeing a hosted version, which was basically in someone else's garage. But the understanding that it was a multi-tenant solution where now it could be managed at an enterprise level for multiple businesses, minimizing the management and the maintenance and maximizing the security in a single point of focus, that was the route to go. Consequently, here we are with Office 365 taking care of that. Now, Microsoft Exchange is just Office 365. They've simplified it that much. Make no mistake, Microsoft Exchange exists everywhere. That's how you're communicating through email. It's probably going to be Exchange or Gmail or some less than, I believe it's 8%, less than 8% of the email that flows through the internet is going to be a subset of, you know, self-hosted or, you know, sub one of those mega beast hosting organizations. Since there's so much Exchange out there, and as the move continues to go to a multi-tenant solution, as I bore everyone to death with all this fun background stuff, this is a terrifying concept that people still have Exchange servers, which are literally just launching pads for everyone to exploit, to hack. It's entry points into their organizations. It's allowing them to get into other organizations as the particular voice. Ray, am I overthinking this, or am I saying the right thing? Give me your thoughts on this.
So I see stories like this again, and my response is, you remember Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle? The Ryan Reynolds, you know, but why, you know, that one of my favorite GIFs and memes. And why? I know Exchange was cool in the 2000s and 2010. That's awesome. Go to freaking Office 365. For God's sake, there's not Satya doesn't want you on on-premise Exchange. Nobody wants you on on-premise Exchange. And especially for our MSP audience, you should not be on on-premise Exchange. The number of sad excuses I've heard over and over again, it's to, well, it's just because licensing is it. It's not like you're not paying licensing for on-premises Exchange. It's no, we want to have control because we don't trust the cloud. Okay, well, the cloud doesn't trust you. Look at all of these 0 days that Office 365 didn't have this problem. Microsoft 365 didn't have this problem. Let the experts do their jobs. Or are you the guy that's coming in and you're telling the roofer, no, you need to do this, you need to do that, and teaching the roofer what to do? Get the hell out. Stay in your lane. Let 365 do its job. You go be the trusted advisor or that, you know, VCIO or whatever you want to call yourself. Go do the things you're awesome at. And I'm going to say most of our MSPs today are not awesome at running legacy software on legacy hardware for legacy reasons. Get the hell off. Move on.
Maybe it's just the compute. No, we're saying the same thing. And I loved how you said, just get off, let someone else do it that's doing it the right way. MSPs, please tell your customers this is an entry point into their organization. Get them off of Exchange, unless you happen to be an expert at some type of compliance-based Exchange solution. You should not have Exchange inside your customers for the well-being and the betterment of everyone. Please get them off. So sorry about that diatribe. Ray, let's get into your amazing next story.
So my next story is now more amazing because Tony said it was. In my top story number two, half of CEOs considering workforce reduction soon. And this is reported by Andrew Keshner on MarketWatch.com. Most CEOs around the world agree that a recession is on the horizon. We've talked about this before in MSP Dispatch. Labor market data showed 1 million fewer job openings in August compared to July, and job openings fell below 11 million for the first time since last November. Recent surveys showed that 51% of CEOs in the U.S. will be considering reducing their workforce in the next 6 months, and 60% of managers said that remote workers will be the first and most likely to be laid off. Additionally, 45% of CEOs in the U.S. said that working arrangements for office jobs in the next 3 years would be hybrid. 34% said it would still be on-site, 20% said it would be fully remote. Globally, 65% of CEOs said that on-site would be ideal, 28% answered hybrid, 7% said fully remote. According to Paul Knopp of KPMG U.S. Chair and CEO, it's difficult to know why the U.S. and global numbers are significantly different, but one factor that contributes to hybrid working conditions in the U.S. is the tight job market. Tony, we've talked about this. Employers don't feel that they can trust their remote employees. Employees feel that they're most productive at home or working from anywhere, but they don't trust their coworkers to be as productive. But they're saying they want those remote jobs. And now employers are saying, hey, those remote workers may be the first ones we're going to let go. The most likely ones are going to let go. It seems to me, I'm trying not to judge. We're trying to give context-aware, unbiased, and fair news. But it seems to me that this is just a repeat over and over of the managers aren't changing with the times. The workers are. Right? The workers know what they want, know what they need. We want to work from anywhere. We want to do our jobs. We want to be awesome at it and live a good private life. And workers are saying, I need to see you in the office sitting next to me. Do you think these layoffs are going to skew that and we're going to see a recession of work from home numbers?
I'm sorry. I'm on LinkedIn applying for it because I'm remote. So I'm so sorry. I, what were you saying? You were saying something.
Yeah, you're fired. How's that?
Hey, look at this. I just got a job opportunity. I'm good. So that right there goes into the game that we are playing, that we created, which is everyone is so excited about this new elastic capability of finding talent outside of the driving distance that we were all used to have. We had to live, throughout the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. Now you can find anyone to do anything anywhere. So that elasticity, the ease of use, the out-of-the-box ready employee is awesome. Well, congratulations, because that goes both ways. The out-of-the-box ready termination is also awesome, depending on your perspective. So what I think we're going to start to see is, the CEOs, which is heavily going to make a decision driven by the economy and the financial context, are going to make decisions on what that elasticity is going to look like. Elasticity isn't a one-way street. It's elasticity because it's going both ways. And since we have this out-of-box way to remediate a problem from anywhere, with anyone, we may be seeing the kickback of that, the drawback, the backblaze, for lack of a better term, that is going to hurt some people. But I'm also of the opinion that there's going to be other opportunities in other locations. The best solution that I can recommend for everyone out there that's considering this is, if you make it, you own it. If you make that policy, you own that policy. If you can't explain it, you don't understand it. Since you made it, you understand it very well, and you can explain it to others, and they know that you can explain it well, which means you understand it well. You're not going anywhere. So the more that you actually create, and you almost you indemnify yourself, for lack of a better term, to that particular company because you are so valuable. But there is going to be a huge pushback. Ray, am I overthinking this? Because I think it's going to go both ways. I love your manager, you know, concept, because I think that's the key of the problem. I think I just said the other side of it.
So I'm thinking, you know, up to now, the last 2 years has been extremely employee friendly, right? The employees have had all the power. Employers are struggling to find good staff, and the prices are going up, and employees could ask for basically whatever they wanted at the interview table, right? So they could sit there and say, no, I'm going to require a good work-home-life balance. I'm going to require working from home. If not, I'll find another company that'll support that. Now with the oncoming recession, where the employers are kind of taking the power seat back over, I wonder if maybe, you know, the employees aren't going to have the same strength. And so maybe they're not going to be able to impose their will on the employers. Yes, there are many employers, us included, that are fully embracing the work from anywhere, and others are going to continue to do so. I'm hoping it doesn't die off. I'm hoping it doesn't go back to the status quo of the 2010s. I feel we're so much better off today. I don't know. Let us know in the comments. Let us know, you know, if you're an employer, what are you planning to do? If you're an employee, you know, if your employer said, I want to go back to work, I want everybody back in the office, is it really going to affect you? Are you more hesitant to go looking for jobs if you're already looking for jobs? Let us know in the comments. But our next story, Tony, everybody's getting breached, even the defense contractor.
Even the defense contractors, and ironically, this circles back to the story that I talked about in the beginning, Microsoft Exchange, Microsoft Exchange, Microsoft Exchange. In a story from darkreading.com, CISA says, multiple APT groups infiltrate defense organization. Advanced attackers gain access to Microsoft Exchange servers. We just talked about this. Conducted searches of email and used an open source toolkit to collect data from the network for over a year. We have multiple advanced persistent threat groups gained access to the network of a U.S.-based defense organization in January 2021, extensively compromising the company's computers, network, and data for nearly a year, as stated by three government agencies in a joint advisory on October 4th. The attackers had access to the organization's Microsoft Exchange server and used a compromised administrator account to collect information and move laterally in the IT environment as early as mid-January 2021. According to the advisory issued by the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, the National Security Agency, NSA, and the Federal Bureau of Investigations, the FBI. Ray, I know we've never talked about ransomware, security issues. We've never talked about this stuff ever. Have we ever talked about Exchange vulnerabilities, or why would you have an Exchange environment inside?
It's all brand new stuff. I love that, you know, we're bringing like bleeding edge, never before seen content. Before you ask me what I want for Christmas, I'm going to tell you, forget world peace. We're past that. It's never going to happen. I would like to stop seeing Exchange and SQL Server zero-day exploits. Like, can I have that for Christmas, maybe?
And bring the 8-track back. Bring the 8-track back.
It was a superior platform.
It was. It was amazing. Oh, okay, so listen. We're going to keep this short and brief because we are going to continue to say this to the point where everyone is either comfortably numb, you're anesthetized to it, or you are terrified and neurotic every time you even hear the word exchange. Hey, we're exchanging goodbyes. You know, and one of those we really want.
It's everyone. Like you say Mufasa. It's like, ooh.
That's funny. Microsoft Exchange is clearly an issue. Security is clearly an issue. You are, as an IT administrator, the front line of everything that happens. And it's not what just happens for 2 to 3 weeks, 2 to 3 months. They noticed this from over a year ago. They noticed this. And they were in there collecting data for a year. So this is, that's what we know. This is tip of the iceberg stuff. And I've talked about this on the show multiple times. I know for a fact, once I make a mark and I'm in, I get a beachhead. I'm not there for 2 to 3 months. I'm there forever. I will allow you to find certain things And once you find those certain things, I know it's found, but I have other ways. Now I have to stay super low key, but it gives me a gradient of what your security level is based on what you find. Please, please, please update your stuff. Ray, any final words? Because we've never talked about this before.
Stop it.
So we have polled the audience. We've asked before, do you want us to keep covering this stuff? This story actually was proposed by Isaac Good in our Discord, in the MSP Media Network Discord. So we'll put the link in the show notes. Go join so you can propose your own stories. So we've had the feedback. They want us to cover it. I don't know if they want us to talk about it or just tell them what's going on. Give us some clarity here. Tell us how much you care about us screaming and waxing poetic about not having Exchange servers. Or maybe you just want to take this clip and go show your clients on why you're moving to the cloud. Maybe that's, you know, and if you want that, Tony and I will do that for you all day and all night. But what do you say we get into the notable mentions?
Let's do it. One of our notable mentions today from TechCrunch.com. It's official. Elon Musk is buying Twitter. It sure looks like Elon Musk's $44 billion Twitter takeover is actually happening. On Tuesday, representatives of the billionaire notified Twitter through a letter that he intends to move forward with the tumultuous deal, confirming earlier reports that things were back on track. Quote, "We write to notify you that the Musk parties intend to proceed to closing of the transaction contemplated by the April 25th, 2022 merger agreement on the terms and subject to the conditions set forth therein," end quote, reads the notice, which was filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission. We're excited to see how this proceeds. And some community feedback from the YouTubes. That's per Ray Orsini, by the way. Connor Swam says, "Once again, I always come for at least the outtakes. Simon and Super Cousin Danny laughing always gets me a chuckle. From me, haha. Thank you very much. The outtakes are hilarious. If you haven't stayed for the outtakes at the end, they're usually awesome. We do our best to minimize your humor, but it doesn't work." In our next feedback from Daniel L., quote, "How is Barbie Girl not on there?" You are absolutely correct. He's referring to the songs, the worst songs out there, and I think you may have a winner on that one, Daniel. Next, The Pops, quote, "Good discussion on absolutes in the AV security industry. There are no absolutes other than being absolute. If anyone claims they can do anything 100%, get proof and be suspicious." Oh, I can't tell you, you are romancing me publicly with that statement. Thank you. And finally, from Disc Josh 23, LOL, Tony, how many takes did you have for that article? You have no idea how many times the power, during the hurricane, the power kept turning on, off, on, off, on, off, and everyone was going crazy, but the team was so supportive of all of that. I don't know what actually occurred in the outtakes. You know why? Because I couldn't watch it because we had a hurricane here in Tampa. But the feedback was amazing. Thank you very much. We strongly recommend that you make as many comments as possible. It actually helps us put some ideas together as we move forward with the next show. But again, thank you, everyone. And in our community events, on October 7th, later today at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 38 at 38, episode number 5, featuring Tony Francisco. That's me. I'm excited about this one. On October 10th through the 12th, an in-person event, Glue X in Miami Beach, Florida. On October 12th at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Build It Better discussion presented by Everything MSP. And on October 13th and 14th, an in-person event, GurrCon, Grand Rapids, Michigan. On the 14th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, MSP Dispatch weekly wrap-up presented by Ray Orsini and Tony Francisco and the MSP Media Network.
Hi, I'm Aaron, and I'm a jobaholic. We all have something in common. We all have a worst job story. Each episode, I'll welcome one guest to share their most insane worst job story. And in return, I'll share one of mine. Join me the first Friday of every month for new episodes of 38 at 38.
So how'd you like today's show? If you liked it, hit that thumbs up button. If you didn't, hit it twice. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week long? Go ahead and join there and you can propose your own stories or even vote on which ones we're going to cover. As my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. And also be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-Network. All right, Tony, we laughed, we loved, we commented, we almost got breached, we screamed, but thank you so much for your commentary, insight. I appreciate you, dude.
Love you, man. Hey, safe travels. Great to see you engaged in the community, and be safe out there.
All right. Take care, everybody.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Quote, we write to notify you that the Musk parties intend to proceed to closing the transaction of the contemplated... ready? I get my fleek going. No? Okay, hold on. I know someone's laughing in there somewhere. Okay.